Steven, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great. So tell us a little bit about, well, Melanson and Paredes, the two guys they got from the Yankees. I could not find much on Paredes, to be honest with you. Maybe you can shed some light on that one for us.
All right, well, then I'll start with Paredes. Paredes is 21-year-old second base prospect, originally drafted as a shortstop prospect. Had shoulder surgery a little while ago, so his throwing arm is a little off from shortstop, so they shifted him over to second. And, I mean, if you Google a picture of him, if you can find it, if you look at him, you can see that there's power there, and scouts are really high on his power. The thing that people are a little concerned about is his plate discipline. He hasn't necessarily figured out how to not expand the zone. But he's definitely a high-ceiling, low-floor kind of guy who's exciting, great defense, and great speed. So just waiting on the bat to come through.
So and talk a little bit about Melanson as a reliever. The Astros say he's pretty much major league ready now. Where does he fit down the road? Do you maybe trade one of Lindstrom or Lyon in the offseason and bring him in, or is he not quite that kind of talent?
I mean, maybe not the offseason in terms of flipping one of those guys around, but he's definitely major league ready. I talked to a number of friends that are New York Yankees guys that cover them, and Melanson was always thought of as Mo's replacement. He's just sort of hit a ceiling there where they're not ready to bring him up, and they sort of jerked him around. The thing that's been a little concerning this year with him, though, is that he's lost a lot of control, and for the first time in his career started walking a lot of batters. So it remains to be seen whether or not that was just a little fluke, or, you know, whether or not he's going to stay the same high strikeout, low walk guy who just really dominated his way through the minors. And he seems like he's a guy who can really contribute, sort of a seventh, eighth inning guy, you know, down the line. It certainly sets up a nice chain effect, like you said, with Lindstrom or Leon, but you know, I'm not sure that I'm that confident in him, nor that the Astros are, that they go ahead and do that over the offseason. But definitely next July, it makes it interesting.
Is this a situation where the Astros, more so than bringing in good talent, were just looking to get rid of some of these guys?
I think it was. And maybe not necessarily just looking to get rid of them, but looking to accomplish getting rid of them, so that they could really start to take a look at what we have on hand and what needs to happen to go forward without those two guys. And the returns are definitely underwhelming, but especially in Berkman's case, he's 34 years old, coming off a knee surgery. He's not hitting like he used to, and he had full control over his destiny, and he actually nixed a couple possible deals that Edwitt had worked out. And so it pretty much came down to the Yankees or bust to get rid of him. With Oswald, you know, the returns from Oswald Field are a little bit better, but still a hard trade to make for Ed Wade and a tough market looking at the other deals that went down over the weekend. So it's a little bit of just trying to get rid of them, but it's a little bit of just a tough situation for Ed Wade to have been in trying to move those guys.
Steven Higdon, our guest, writer for CrawfishBoxes.com. If you haven't checked it out, you should. Steven, I want to ask you, with getting Myers long-term now, you've pretty much got your rotation set with Myers and Happ and Wandy, and then, you know, Norris, I assume, fill in the blank behind them. Is that enough to be at least more competitive next year, or there's still moves to be made before this team has enough of a pitching staff? And then what else can they do? And just an overview of what you think they did over the weekend. Are you happy with this direction, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Before the Myers signing, I was really pleased with where everything was going. Not necessarily overwhelmed with what Ed Wade did, but getting Drayton McClain to sort of fold on his championship mantra and go with this is not an easy task. I think that the Myers signing is definitely good for the franchise because outside of Happ and Wandy, who I think is gone after 2011, if he even finishes out the team with 2011, it is a lot of question marks. They just transferred Felipe Paulino, who's pitched well, to the 60-day DL. But Norris is with an injury risk and hasn't found consistency. Then you got Wesley Wright, who's auditioning and pitched well yesterday, but is still a converted reliever who's young. Down on the farm, you got Jordan Lyle, Dolph Kutchel, you know, still Ross Seaton's there, Tanner Buchan, a couple other guys that, you know, they're high on, but they're a ways away. So Myers is a good deal, but he's also an average salary of about $10 million over the life of this deal. And it doesn't necessarily cripple the franchise in terms of that, but just a little bit too much money that I would pay just to have a guy who's going to eat innings and perform well, but not like he has this year, because they are a ways away. There are a lot of question marks filling out the back end of the rotation, and there's a lot to be hopeful for, but that's just the rotation. We haven't even addressed, you know, the other side of the game, offense, and that's what killed the Astros recently, and there are not a lot of power impact bats in the system right now. So there is a lot to be done, and in order to do that, Ed Wade's got to be active on the free agent market. And, you know, you run the risk of getting us right back to where we are right now, where we're crippled by some big contracts, and so I'm not sure that he's going to be active like that or if that's a prudent thing to do. So Myers is good in that it protects everything, and I'm glad that we got Brett Wallace, and I'm glad that we added probably guys who slot into our top 10 or 15 and prospects down on the farm to these deals, but it's a stepping stone of a long process, and I'm not sure that, you know, we're going to be talking about how the Astros are good and how they're in contention until 2012, 2013, realistically.
Do you think that due to, like we were saying, there's really not a staff set in place for next season the way it looks now, do you think you could see them push a guy like Lyles or Didalowicz or Seton or someone like that to get up to the big club a little faster than they would have liked to, instead of bringing in a free agent that is basically not going to help the team long term?
I mean, with a guy like Lyles, definitely not. He's 20 years old. There's no reason to push him because he's got that franchise type caliber about him, and you don't want to offset his of trajectory to the big leagues to try to make a non-competitive team slightly more competitive. There are a couple other guys that we have in the farm system, like Kutchel and then Tanner Bishin, who are a little older, came from college and have the potential to sort of get up into the rotation quicker if we want to jumpstart it. But I mean, for the most part, I think they're gonna have to limp along through next year and hope that, you know, Norris, Paulino, Wesley Wright, you know, all those guys can stay healthy and hopefully contribute enough over the season, and that Happ and Myers and Wandy, who are sort of the veterans of that staff now, can sort of hold the top end out and just sort of shuffle through those guys. But I don't think it's worth really throwing off the plans of some of these players that we have a lot of hope for, just to make 2011 seem a 77-win team versus a 72-win team.
Does the Kobe Clemens, I know a lot of people are saying they'd love to see Kobe Clemens up here. He's a guy who, you know, doesn't really necessarily have a position. Does Brett Wallace coming up and being a full-time first baseman now, does that pretty much cancel any thought of Kobe Clemens being a part of this team in the next year or two?
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, obviously Brett Wallace getting called up and starting at first base is a big deal for him. But I don't think that the Astros are set with saying that Brett Wallace is the first baseman of our future. And Kobe Clemens has played exceptionally well over the last 1.5 seasons down at Double A and Triple A, and he's climbing up the ladder and he's doing all the things that you want to see. I actually happened to catch him in the Texas League All-Star game, and it was a very small sample for his defense. And although he's short at first base, he played it exceptionally well. Scooped a lot of balls, was still able to go up for the high ball. So I think first base is the position for him, and it sort of sets up a competition between the two of them. And I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to have those two guys gunning for who's going to be the first baseman of the future. So it makes it interesting. But I don't think anything's locked down just because Brett Wallace is starting every day now.
Stephen Higdon, CrawfishBoxes.com, has been our guest. Great stuff as always, Stephen. Man, thanks for coming on again. Really appreciate it.
All right, well, thank you guys. You guys have a good one.